Welcome to Make the Grade with the Success Doctor, Stephen Green, where you'll discover actionable strategies to help your student to reach their academic goals, to excel at standardized testing, and to plan for the college admissions process painlessly. And now, here's your host, Dr. Stephen Green.
All right, everybody. Steve Green here. I got my guest, Peggy Plourhar. She's going to be on with us in a sec. Welcome to Education Live Thursday. You know what I realized? And I had to go back and actually verify this. This is the 13th Education Live Thursday since we started being very, very regular with it. 13. Lucky 13, Peggy. How about that?
It's my favorite number.
There we go. All right. Well, that's a good omen then. So just a couple of things before we get into it. I think it's going to be a very important discussion. I always forget to say this. So if you are watching this, listening to this on some sort of live stream and you want to make comments, and I know Ronald Shapiro knows how to do it. Hello, Ron. Welcome back. You need to click on a link that basically says I'm here, and it's within StreamYard, and it says I get it. I think it's StreamYard/Facebook or something. I probably really should know the link. Anyway, let me tell you what's going on in the Make the Grade world really, really quickly. Number one, very busy time of year for tutoring. Busy. School is still in this virtual, hybrid, semi-hybrid sort of funk, but there's still plenty of work to be done. We got a lot of students working very hard. I appreciate the effort they're making. Well done, everybody. This is midterm month. So let's really buckle down, focus, finish this quarter, this semester strongly. If you need help with anything, math, science, all that jazz, you know where to get the help. Reach out. I'm here for you. Number two, we are coming into the spring, what was usually known as the spring test prep season, even though some of them technically are in the winter. ACTs, SATs back on track. Mostly have not heard anything yet about anything being postponed or canceled or any of that nasty stuff. So if you're a junior or a senior, if you haven't taken it enough, you got to really buckle down, get focused, get a plan. And again, I can help you with all of this. Take advantage of the Make the Grade on-demand problem-solving service. I don't talk about that much on here, but I came up with this new deal. You get a problem you want answered, take a picture of it, send it to me, and I'll answer it for you. How about that, huh? Pretty cool. Kind of like homework help on steroids. And finally, I have decided by popular demand, a lot of popular demand because this is what happens in my life, to offer a class on how to teach online. So if there's anybody out there that wants to be a tutor, okay, and believe me, it is the world's best job. The world's best job. Incredible. Career. I'm going to offer some workshops on how to do it. But it's also for people that want to learn to instruct virtually. Doesn't have to be tutoring. Just don't think beyond the academic box here, okay? So if you know anybody that wants to do it or you want to do it, put a note in the comments, email me, send me a carrier pigeon, Canon string, whatever we got going. Yeah, and Education Thursday live every week. My guest this week, and I got to be honest, I forget how we actually met, Peggy. But we'll get into that. You can remind me. I'm my age, you know, memory sometimes. But really, really interesting person. I think you're really going to enjoy her perspective, her depth of knowledge, tremendous. I am really happy to have here, Peggy Plourhar. I hope I'm saying it right. She is a special ed homeschool founder, SPED, Homeschool Foundation, founder, CEO, a leader in special education, homeschooling, community, and a frequent writer and speaker on specialized education homeschooling issues. Keeping yourself busy?
Yeah.
In a past life.
Yes, exactly.
Is that really true? You were a physicist?
Yes.
Like mm-hmm. a new physicist?
Yes.
Dang.
Yeah.
A regular Einstein we got on the show today. left a high-paying gig in the medical device industry to teach her kids at home. And you got to applaud that because that's the most important thing, right? Obviously, money's important, but family first. Yeah. And that really got her excited about homeschooling. So in 2017, she founded this organization, and that has been your life's work ever since, right?
Yeah, it's been for a decade and a half, but yeah, a lot more in the last 3 years.
Yeah, well, again, we're going to get into all this. Hold that thought. But the best part about this, I think, is she's also like yours truly, the host of a popular podcast and a live broadcast. So we are kind of like kindred spirits here, sort of.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you, the transition, and this is off script. We're three minutes in the show. I'm already going off script. The transition from a physicist, probably a heavy-duty, very technical job, mm-hmm. where you're working with some, real brainiac kind of people, I would think, to staying at home, uh-huh. working with your own children, who at the time were how old?
My oldest was in kindergarten,
six or seven.
So, and then I had a three-year-old, and I hadn't had my daughter yet at that point.
So is it safe to say? I'm going to go out on a limb, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. This was a pretty big life transition.
Yeah, it was difficult. I expected my kids that they'd listen to me like everybody in the boardroom would. Didn't happen.
Newsflash.
Yeah, exactly.
Seven-year-old can be way more headaches than a bunch of 50-year-olds. Incredible, huh? let's do this. You've been doing this some amount of time. We never mm-hmm. talk about people's age. It's all about experience and wisdom. But so what really made you want to start? Was it being motivated by working with your kids? Was it the connection?
It was my oldest's diagnosis on the autism spectrum. The kids at the school kept getting in the principal's office every day. And I said, this isn't working very well, is it? Hmm. And fortunately, I had a very, very caring principal that sat me down, and she said, I think you just really need to get him tested. We had no idea what was going on with him. He's extremely brilliant, but just couldn't fit in socially. And so at that point, he was just so depressed. He had dealt with so much bullying, even in a private school where we thought he was, at least a little bit more protected.
And he was still a kindergartner here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He just kept saying, I just want to die. And at that point, you just, this has to be my choice. There's no other, my kid's important, and the funny thing is now he's turning 24 in a couple months, and he followed in my footsteps and got a degree in biomedical engineering. So, going into the medical device industry.
Really?
So
it's sort of like you, as a family, you took like an 18-year pause.
Yes, exactly.
And you sort of picked up the legacy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have three children.
Mm-hmm. I do.
And I'm going to guess, because I have my own kids, they're all different personalities, different skill sets.
Exactly.
So
yes.
How did that impact? And you homeschooled each of them.
Uh huh. Yep. I'm still homeschooling one.
What were the unique needs? Or the methodologies you had used with three mm-hmm. separate kids, and not spread tremendously, but you couldn't share a lot of curriculum between each kid.
Exactly. So I did, being the physicist I am, I did an experiment when we started homeschooling. I said, what's going to work well with my, what's going to work well with my kids? And at that point, there weren't a whole lot of teaching methodologies being used in the homeschool environment. It was just mm-hmm. basically textbooks, unit study, or literature-based. Now there's people talking about unschooling, which kind of is what we morphed to and eventually, but I tried each out on my kids and said, we're going to pick the same time period, and we're going to try out the textbook version, we're going to try out the literature-based version, and we're going to try the unit study version. And we were kind of studying around the 1800s with sailing and pirates and all those things, and textbooks did not work very well at all. That was quickly thrown out the window. And the literature, my kids didn't sit still very well either, much better than the textbooks. But when we got to the unit study, and I said, okay, here's 20 feet of rope, we learned all the different knots we had to tie. Now you can tie me up, since you're pirates, as long as you use the right knot. And my kids were like, yes. So we kind of stuck with it. Actually, my oldest did unit studies all the way through high school, and then slid right into college from there. Actually, he went to welding school first, and then after he got his welding license, went to college. But
I got to think you had some days you might want to pull your hair out. But net,
yes.
Was it worth? I mean, was this had to be rewarding? You probably wouldn't have stuck with it so long.
It was. I mean, it became a lifestyle for us, which a lot of families will tell you if you do it long enough, your kids just get up and go, well, that's what we do. We do school at home. And, we did a lot of subjects together, but I did have diverse learners, like you were saying earlier. And so I had to do a lot of one-on-one work with each of them to make sure that I was meeting their unique needs. And so that took a little bit of planning, and but they got used to that too as part of the schedule.
So talk to the parents out there right now, 2021. There's a lot more people with home-based learning, which isn't necessarily the same as homeschooling, right? Because they may be sitting at home at a kitchen table or their desk in their bedroom, staring at a screen, being instructed by school teachers. But for the people maybe more interested in the actual, talk about some of the logistics. You need to plan, right? You can't just wake up and wing this. It might work one day, but it's not going to work over a year. So what needs to happen? What are the structural logistics that you can say, hey, parents, if you want to get into this deeply, here's what you're going to need. Talk from experience here, Peggy.
Well, I worked for two different state organizations before I formed my nonprofit, and a lot of what I counseled parents about was, of course, the law. And homeschooling laws are different in every state. And so, whatever state you live in, if you're going to choose parent-directed home education, which is kind of different than the school-directed home education, because public schools will do schooling in your home. But when you choose to cut that tie and direct it yourself, there are laws in each state that are different. So a lot of people will go online and say, well, what do I have to do to homeschool? And they're talking to somebody in California and they live in, Minnesota. It's not the same. So, you have to make sure that you know what your laws are and that you're following those. Some require reporting, some don't. Some require testing, some don't. It's just completely up to the state to set those laws. So that's important. And some of them even have required subjects. So there goes into what do I teach? And are we fulfilling that on a yearly basis? And then do we have to build in some sort of measurement device or a portfolio that gets turned in for a child? So you're going to base somewhat of your homeschooling on that. But what I always tell parents too is you have the freedom to do things that the public school and private schools don't, because you have that one-on-one ability to work with each child. And so, like for my oldest, I knew he loved to build. So we did mechanical engineering when he was in fifth grade. That was just something he loved. And my middle child is just creative. Whenever we did a unit study, he would make all the costumes so that we could act out whatever we were doing. And my daughter's an artist, and so a lot of times when she had a writing assignment, I had her draw the picture to go next to what she was writing because you're building on those things that they're good at, and it doesn't surprise me that each of them chose paths that were very similar to the things that I encouraged, because I saw them coming out over and over again. And you get to know your children well when you're with them that long.
Now, in your particular case, I guess it would be your husband, right? Was he involved in this as well, or were you the
More as a
primary
support system
facilitator?
for me. No, he works long hours and sometimes even in the evenings. So teaching was primarily mine, but he did allow me some weekends to get away to do some planning for the
That
year.
was nice of him.
Yes.
Tell me about your foundation or your nonprofit. It's SPED Homeschool. Is that the name of it? Right.
Yeah, it stands for Specialized Education
Right,
Homeschool.
homeschool.
So,
Right, okay.
and so we help parents just to, there's no one curriculum that works well for a child with any diagnosis, any special needs, any struggle. And it's hard to tell a parent that. And so what I found when I was doing a lot of consulting for the different state organizations, I was answering the same questions over and over again. And we wanted to make sure that we had static pages on our website that answered all of those questions. So like you can go and to getting started, you can find your state law links. You can do all those things. I even have a whole webinar on how to get started homeschooling. And even if you don't have a child that struggles, it's very applicable. And then we have a whole page on homeschooling high school. But we also partner with a lot of organizations that offer services and curriculum and other things that are very adaptable for kids who have learning differences. And so,
you're clearly at least in part a resource.
Yes, yes. We kind of vet organizations and then we create partnerships with them and put them on our website. And so it's our goal to train parents and also to get parents the resources that they're looking for so they're not spending so much time on the internet.
I know the Great Tutor, MakeTheGrade.net. Are they on your page?
I don't think so yet. I think you're going to have to.
We'll have to get our people on that.
Yes.
let me put this on the screen. If you are out there in listener land and you want to comment or ask Peggy a question, just you got to go to this link to kind of get approved, so to speak. Thank you, Ron. No comments yet, but that's okay. So let's go to sort of just the parent-child level. Do you have like a fondest memory? I mean, you must have a whole storehouse of them, but.
Oh, I do.
Something that really stands out that you are just saying, I am so thankful that I made this decision. Or maybe on the flip side, it's like, I really wish I was still in the lab with the, the cyclotron. is there a highlight that really, you know, or a couple, you know, that you want to just share as kind of motivation? I'm looking at these as sort of a motivational idea.
Sure. I'll start out with one that happened kind of when my kids were younger. And I think it really reinforced for me how powerful home education could be. The unit study that I was using, we were covering Russia. And so we did a whole, I think maybe multiple years where we just focused on a culture and, you know, we made the food, we did the arts and crafts, the whole nesting dolls, everything. but also we talked about politics. We talked about government systems. We talked about history. And there were two really impactful experiences that my kids had as part of those studies. One was a lunch. I sat down and I had all the smorgasbord for my kids, and I said, "You put on your plates whatever you want." And so they loaded their plates up with treats that normally didn't come into our house. And then they sat down at the table, and I said, "I am Mother Russia. Give me your plates." And I redistributed the wealth, and they didn't think that was so fun anymore. They actually cried.
Really?
And you ask my kids what communism is, and they understand it much better now than just that experience at the table. But it was an emotional experience for them as to how this impacts people. And another experience was, you know, we didn't just read history. My kids sometimes acted it out. Like I said, my middle child loved making costumes. And so we were studying World War I and World War II. And one of the things that happened, because the Russian government was so poor, they could not buy guns for World War II. They actually told their soldiers to go into the fields where the battles had happened in World War I and pull them off of the dead bodies. So they could refurbish the guns.
They were still there?
Yeah, they were. Because it was a cold and tundra area. The guns were... Yeah. So my kids reenacted that. And as they were doing it, I remember my middle son looking up and he goes, "This is really gross." You know, but... Had we read it in a textbook, I don't think it would have had the impact.
Obviously much more visceral.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I mean,
so we went a lot of school
the
like
story
that.
The story with the food is great. It's a great story. No borscht for you.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, okay, let me ask you a question. Actually, by the way, Education Live Thursday. Peggy Plyhar. Why have trouble with that name?
Like lawyer.
Plyhar. Yeah. I'm sorry. Peggy is here. Long history of homeschooling, special education, big wig in your foundation, great resource. I'll get it all right in a minute. But I think what we're starting to see is sort of there was a polarization for a long time, and that may not be the best choice of words. Conventional school, homeschool. They really didn't cross very much.
Yeah, not
right?
Till last
year. I think what I'm finding now is you're starting to get a lot more of a cross-pollinization.
Mm-hmm.
Even idea-wise, you know, ideas that are classically homeschooling are starting to be used a little bit in the mainstream, and mainstream things mm-hmm. are coming to homeschooling, especially the curriculum, at least in Pennsylvania, is mirroring the schools. You know, you're not going to get the redistribution of lunch mm-hmm. in your online curriculum. But how do you feel about that? Is that a good trend? Is that something you like it traditional? Where do you stand on it?
I think it is good because people are seeing that education has other options. You know, mm-hmm. we've always thought it as black mm-hmm. and white, as these crazy homeschoolers over here.
Right.
And, you know, and then these people that send their kids to school. But it really, there's been such a melding and a meshing and even a crossover, as we see that more kids have more free time. They are doing unschooling, whether we, you know, plan it or not. They're learning on their own more than they were when they were in the schools, because they have this extra time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are learning at home. They're basically unschooling when they're not on their computer.
You know what's interesting is, fairly or unfairly, one of the big knocks on homeschooling always was that the children potentially could lack the socialization that they would get in school, right? In public school or private school. That was fair, right or wrong, fair or unfair, that was always one of the things that people would say. You know, you homeschool mm-hmm. kid, yeah, you know, they get to go to the museum to learn about dinosaurs, and my kids learn a book, but my kid's much better, is more well-adjusted mm-hmm. socially. Is that something anybody worries about anymore?
Not really.
Or do you have any, in your experience as a resource?
We haven't gotten that question in the last year, especially. But we find that our kids are much better to address an adult and a child younger than who they are, and interact with much different age levels. And my kids were the same way. You know, when we went to the county fair, my kids would be talking to the vendors, and they would be helping out with the younger kids, because we had three foster kids for a while. And, you know, they just got used to that. I don't just have to associate with people who are the same age as me. And that just became the norm. Like, we had two other families that we shared schooling with once a week, and we mixed all the kids together. That's because we only had two to three kids each.
You had a pod before the pods were cool.
Yes, exactly.
I got a question from the audience. Mm-hmm. Let's see how you want to address this. How well prepared were your students, I presume Ron is referring to your children, mm-hmm. for college versus students who came from elite private schools, prep schools, public schools? Yeah. How do you feel about this?
You know, it's funny. My oldest didn't want to go to college. He told me that. He was very adamant about that. We did unit studies, but he didn't actually learn to read till he was 12. The funny thing was that we tested in Minnesota, and so the next year he took the test at age 13. He actually was reading at a college level within a one-year span. actually graduated cum laude from the University of Houston in biomedical engineering. He had a really hard time dealing with some of the students who were typically schooled, because he felt that they just weren't in it. They weren't investing. When he got assigned to projects, he ended up usually doing all the project himself, because nobody just really felt like it was that important. My kids take learning personally, because it has been a personal thing in our family. It's something we've shared. It's not just something we do. And I think that makes a huge difference in how a lot of homeschool students approach college. And I know I've heard the same thing from college professors too, that most of them are rather shocked that homeschoolers were homeschooled. They're like, what school did you come from that you are so different? But that's why they are different, is because they learn to research. Like my daughter at 16, she does the majority of her school on her own already. Mm-hmm. She's just very self-motivated.
Do you think, I mean, obviously this is very hypothetical, but do you feel if the children had, or even one of them had gone to mainstream school, and I don't mm-hmm. think you or I are knocking school.
Oh, no.
As an
no.
institution at any level. But do you think that they would have, I don't know how to say this, ended up differently? Or just would have maybe had different priorities in life? Obviously, you put a lot of this into it yourself.
Right.
So there was a family yep. culture of education mm-hmm. as a priority. You gave the kids enough freedom to mm-hmm. explore, but yet you were still kind of cracking the whip, at least to some degree, in terms
right.
of structure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever look back and think maybe you would have done it differently? I'm fascinated by the longevity that you put into this too.
My middle one, I struggled a lot because he basically took over his education about 15. He said he wasn't going to do what I wanted to do, and I said, well, we have to follow the laws. So how are you going to get these subjects in? Because in the state of Texas where we live, mm-hmm. there are specific subjects he has to take. And so he gave me a plan. He said, this is what I'm going to learn and how I'm going to learn it, and this is how you can grade me. And I went, okay. And it worked. And so that's what we did. Looking back, I think the thing we would have lost the most is the closeness of our family, just because we would have been so busy. And that, you know, homeschoolers can get busy too, and I have to state that, is I know a lot of homeschool families that run their children into the ground with activities just as much as if their child was going to a public school. We mm-hmm. chose not to do that. We actually went and lived on a farm for 5 years in the middle of nowhere. And just learned a lot of different things, how to take care of cows and chickens and milk cows and crazy stuff. But the relationship I have with my kids now, that my boys are in their 20s and they want to be home, they want to sit and visit with us, and they both are still living here and working, and we like that. They haven't decided that they want to break out and do anything different. So, yeah.
In your opinion, and this may not be the easiest question to answer, but mm-hmm. Do you feel that your children appreciate all the effort that you put in?
At this point, my kids all do. My daughter does way before my boys did, just because she's a girl. And we have a close relationship already, but I think so. My daughter has told me many times about just the struggles that her friends have had. And my daughter's also on the autism spectrum. All of my kids are slightly, you know, on the autism spectrum, I guess I would say. I've never had the younger two diagnosed. Mm. But they have friends that struggle with sensory issues and being in loud places and just needing some of those breaks. And they see that they can take those when they're at home, where they're the friends that they have that are in public schools have a really hard time coping with those things.
One of the things I hear, I work with a lot of families, especially ones with kids in private schools. We're around mm-hmm. where I am, private schools are very costly.
Yeah.
Like a college tuition kind of cost.
Mm.
And to afford that, often you got two pretty high-powered parents.
Yeah.
You know, bringing home nice paychecks, but at the cost of, you know, working very long hours or being traveling
right.
or... Mm-hmm. And often they don't have... I don't say they choose not to, but just the reality is they don't have particularly close relationships with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And not they don't get along, it's just that they just... the sheer amount of time they have to spend together.
Right. You have to spend time to develop.
And then I'll get parents, well, the kid don't appreciate what I'm doing. I'm paying for mm-hmm. the school. And this,
oh, yeah.
The car. And
mm-hmm.
They don't care. I should. When I grew up, I was walking both ways uphill to school. You know, the cliche
stuff. Well, I grew up in that environment, you know, that
right.
And I haven't gotten to really know my parents until like probably in my mid-40s.
Interesting. One more question for you. What would you say, is there an age that is the best place to start a homeschooling? Like if you have a kid who's in traditional school for a certain amount of time, is there a, do you pull them out, then homeschool? Do you homeschool, then put them into school? Is it better to start young and that's just the way that they know it? Do you have an opinion about this, Peggy?
You know, I think for every child it's going to be different. I'd say probably not starting their first year of high school. That's
right.
I think any other age, it's good. As the closer you get to high school, is the closer you get to creating a transcript. The closer you get to having to work on different hours. Some states require report cards, but not many. But when you have a transcript, you're recording grades too. So there's a lot of other logistics that come into play when you homeschool high school. So diving in at that age is really difficult, not impossible, but difficult. At the younger ages, you can just play. And the more you get to know your child and what they like, what feeds them, what motivates them to want to learn. And you can use learning as a motivator. I'm sure you know that, Stephen, is that some kids just, they are so interested in a subject that they consider that play. And so to be able to do that and to have that time, then it snowballs as you homeschool longer, because that's kind of what happened with my daughter.
So there's
now
like an additive effect.
Exactly. I know she just finished college algebra today.
She's in the equivalent of 10th or 11th grade.
Well, she has enough credits to graduate already. I'm just not graduating her.
And she's 16, you said.
She's 16. She started
homeschooling
when she was typically
a young junior or older senior. Older sophomore.
Yep.
So
yeah.
She's basically a year and a half, 2 years ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the standard.
Yeah, she's taking a fashion design class downtown at one of the fashion schools, and then she just designed a pair of shoes that's going to be mass marketed across the world. It's actually in a company in Switzerland, picked her design.
Let me one last little sort of station break here. Education Live Thursday. I am fascinated by this discussion. Your experience is just incredible. It seems to me that it was a very positive experience for you. And I hope the message that's coming across to listeners here is if you do this right, and you have the right resources, and you have the right tools, and the right relationship with your children, this can be like a joyous thing.
Right.
Maybe that's too strong a word, but it doesn't have to be a labor, right? It doesn't have to be a chore, like, oh, I got to teach my kid today. That's
right.
Not what we want. We want this to be a mutually beneficial sort of experience. Well, obviously, the kids need to learn, but the parents get. You obviously got a lot of fulfillment out of this as well, to the point where now you have your whole nonprofit to help other people in the same circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
We were every Thursday Education Live. My guest next week, if you remember way back, fans, to the Back to School Virtual Workshop Festival, September 10th. One of my guests was Katie K. May, who runs centers in the city here, Philadelphia here, to help teens. She's going to be on next week. Finally, Ken Myers, Apex Leadership Academy. We've got some good people coming up. If you or somebody you know, or maybe Peggy wants to come back and wants to be a guest on Education Live, we have a very rigorous, believe me, very, very rigorous screening process. but it starts with sending me an email or a message or commenting, and I'll have my people get in touch with you. Free flow here. Any message you want to give people? I mean, I presume you're an advocate of homeschooling. What would you say to somebody who's on the fence? Should we do it? Should we not do it? Mm-hmm. Should I make the decision for my child? How much input should I get from my child? Obviously, that's age dependent, but, what do you think?
The one thing I hear from a lot of parents is, well, I'm just not like you. And I have to remind them, I wasn't like me when I started either. I have changed a lot. Um, I I was dealing with depression as much as my son was, and it was, we were not in a good place. But sometimes we need to break the cycles that are happening in our lives, and by making a choice to step out of kind of the chaos and take some time. And also, you don't decide to homeschool for 18 years the first year you start. You right. decide to do it for 1 year.
And then it becomes
And then will you reevaluate and you see if it's good for the next year. And so it's not this lifelong commitment that you're making.
What would you say to the parents who are watching their kids sitting in front of a computer for 5.5 hours a day or whatever, 7 hours a day?
Mm.
You know, basically, I'm not saying they're not learning, but they're not getting the instruction right. they would in a school environment. That's, I think, a fair comment. And it's mm-hmm. not supposed to be a disrespect
so
to the teacher.
Hard.
But and they're thinking, gee, maybe I would have been better off, you know, if I had homeschooled, or maybe I'd be better off if we took him out of school this year. What's your opinion about that?
You know, you can teach one-on-one a child in 10 to 15 minutes, the same thing they do on the computer for an hour.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I could do the same thing in the tutoring world. Yeah.
Right, because one-on-one is intense teaching. And then your children can play. And they can learn things that they want to learn, you know, and explore. And so if you consider the time you're trading, It has to be a family decision, though. You know, it's if this is working better because you're working from home, then make that work. But if you're feeling like this just really isn't working, but I just don't know if I have the time. Again, 5 to 10 minutes, to maybe 15 if they're older. But it's amazing how much you can teach, because in the classroom, they're sharing. You know, information, they're repeating it, kids are interrupting, you know, all these other things are happening.
Right.
Huh. Yeah.
What do you got going on this year? Any exciting,
well, we just rebranded,
life you want to share,
we rebranded all of my podcast and broadcast.
It's now called that. How would people learn about your podcast? It'll be in the show notes too, but
It's called Empowering Homeschool Conversations. You can basically find us any podcast streaming channel that's out there. But if you go to our website at SPED Homeschool, SPEDHomeschool.com, you'll find links for all of that and upcoming episodes. So this month we've been focusing on teaching methodologies. So the first week I interviewed Dr. Peter Gray from Free to Learn. That book. And then this week we talked about Charlotte Mason method, and we're going to talk about a couple different teaching methodologies that homeschoolers use. And then next month we're going to dive into IEPs, which a lot of people don't know that homeschoolers can write. So we're going to go through some, how do you write an IEP? How do you set goals? How do you work with your child's therapist to work on goals together? And so we do a different theme every month.
Some people don't know.
That.
I was on your podcast.
Yes, you were.
I don't know what episode it was, but you know,
it was in November. Yes.
That's one of the reasons I wanted to have you here. I really enjoyed that conversation.
Mm.
Anything else? Anything? You had an event coming up, or anything you want to plug?
I'm speaking a lot of places. We'll see if it happens. I mean, I think I was on like 3 virtual conferences alone this week. So
join the club. I know.
I know.
And it's only Thursday. But,
but
that's not permanent. I mean, I think at some point we might actually be in a room with 30 people. Which part of Texas are you in?
I'm in Houston, Texas.
Houston, okay.
Yeah, the south end. But yeah, I'm booked to speak in Las Vegas in April, a couple places in Texas in May, and then Iowa and Arizona this summer. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is great.
You have to keep me
in the loop on these, and I will share it with my folks.
Yeah.
Peggy, I really want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule and sharing, you know, some really practical information, some personal information. It's great. Steve Green from Make the Grade, Education Live Thursday. We're here every week. Again, next week, Katie K. May, And she's a wealth of information, very different topic. But if you have a teenager, I know you do, Peggy, this is a good for you. She works with teens exclusively, helping them with coping mechanisms, self, what they think about themselves, self-awareness, body image, that sort of thing. Really talented. Just opened another center. She's expanding. So I'm looking forward to having her back. Let me ask you one last question, because I ask everybody this nowadays. Do you think, and this is kind of a serious question, I probably should ask this before, there have clearly been changes in our society and our education system in the last 6, 8, 10 months, right?
Yeah.
I think not all of them are bad. I'm strictly limited to school education. I'm not talking about anything else in society. What do you think is going to stick? What do you think is going to go back? Do you think there's anything that you're doing differently now because of COVID that you think everybody will continue to do? Or do you think, is there anything that once we get normalized or we get vaccinated, just going to go back to the same old, same old? Do you have any, viewpoint on that?
You know, I hope that families will spend more time together. You know, we almost felt like that it was like a forced concentration camp in your home.
No, it still is, right?
To not think of it that way and to instead appreciate those times we have. I know I struggled with cancer last year. It reset my whole thinking. As I looked at my time with my family as very precious, because I didn't know if I was going to make it through. And, you know, just a lot of people with a lot of health conditions this year, just resetting what's important. And can we keep those priorities the same as we have when we were forced to?
Well, sorry to hear about your health. Are you okay now?
Yeah, I'm in remission. I actually treated it completely natural other than some surgeries. But, yeah. Huh. It's not very fun being in a hospital when you have to get COVID tests every time you go.
Yeah. I've had three because I've been around people that thought they were exposed and the whole tracing thing. And
Yeah.
It's like, no fun. It feels weird. All right. I could probably go on another couple hours, but we are up against it. I want to thank you. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Sharing with what you did. If anybody has questions, please reach out. If you know anybody who's thinking about homeschooling, is homeschooling, wants to homeschool, used to homeschool, tried to homeschool, can't even spell homeschool. you got the resource. You're probably the best resource in the country we got on here tonight. So we are going to wrap it up here. Steve Green, Education Live Thursday. Thank you again. Peggy Ployar. I got it right, I think, that time.
Yeah.
appreciate it. We'll be in touch. Hope to have you back on again.
Yeah.
And let's get the music going. And we are good. Oh, before we even do that, how about a big hand for Peggy? That's the studio audience. We got the legal limit of 12 people in the studio here. That is the theme music, and we are wrapping up. Thanks again. See everybody next week. And look for her podcast, look for my podcast, and reach out if you need some help.
You've been listening to Make the Grade with the Success Doctor, Stephen Green. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe. For more resources and support, please visit makethegrade.net.